Welcome to Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, where I use nature's landscapes as metaphors for your life, helping you to get back on track when you're stuck and don't know what to do. Whether that's when you're lost, lacking in focus, motivation or confidence, or feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Send the situation you're grappling with on a coffee break as you explore one of nature's landscapes to gain insight and a different perspective you can apply to the situation later. Today's episode's all about celebrating the birthday of my book that's 5 years old. How cool's that? So Can't See the Wood for the Trees, that shares so many of the tools and techniques that I share in this podcast episodes. Was published in August 2018. And since then has helped coaches and individuals that are stuck to get back on track, to use nature's landscapes as metaphors for our lives, for all the reasons that I talk about in these episodes, because sometimes we can get stuck in the story because we end up gossiping about how bad the situation is and sort of point the finger at blaming others rather than taking responsibility for what we can change, because there's always something that we can do differently, even if we can't change the other person. And so in some respects, today's podcast may very well just be about me going, oh yes, I've done an episode on that and I've done an episode on that. But let me just read to you. Section one is all about the tools and techniques. So if you're a coach, you'll love section one because it gives you more about why I'm using metaphor and how the different processes work. But what you've then got is a number of chapters in part two which use sayings. So they're very much about what series two of this episode podcast was all about. So we've got a chapter on making mountains out of molehills. We've got one about stuck in the rut, can't see the wood for the trees, up the creek without a paddle, like a fish out of water, head in the sand, out on a limb and in at the deep end is on in one the same chapter. Treading water and going round in circles are the same chapter. Miss the tide. And then there's an antidote chapter, if you will, called Going with the Flow. And what I'd like to do is just go through and share one insight from each of those chapters. In the show notes, there'll be a link to buying a book. On certain of them, there's already a PDF that you can get to just help. But also, there's a number of episodes that would help you explore if you're feeling like this. But making mountains out of molehills. The bit I remember was when I was writing that chapter and I was on Kakadu Beach. And it was always surprised me where I wrote chapters about the book, because they were never quite in the place I expected them to be. So you'd expect to be writing mountains out of molehills, either up a mountain, a hill, or somewhere near a molehill. And no, I was in the middle of the beach in Kakadu. But what I noticed was I was near the rock pools. And the rock pools just looked like mini mountains, really. So they were these mountains that had been shrunk down to rock pools. So I suppose it's making mountains out of rock pools. And the kids were playing in the rock pools. And what I noticed was they weren't really bothered about getting to the top of any of the hills, because it was all about the rock pools, wasn't it? It was all about the valleys. And in some respects, it was taking the easiest route to get from one side of the rock pools to the other. It certainly wasn't about the mountain. So I do wonder sometimes that we see life as a mountain because we think it has to be difficult. Yeah, it comes back to that no gain, no pain. That we're beating ourselves up, whereas how would it be if life was just a whole load of lovely hills? Unless you love climbing mountains, in which case that's great, but a lot of us don't. So that's my insight I'd share about making mountains out of molehills. Stuck in a rut is much harder, I find, to easily come up with a solution. But again, I'll share the story about a team who were walking down a road. It felt very rut-like. There was, you know, more and more grass appearing in the middle of it. And oh, we're only, you know, we're going to get to the end of the, it's going to be a dead end. And then they spied a hole, and then they pushed through the hole, they went through to the field, they got to the top of the hill, and they could see expansive everywhere. So it's really interesting how nature, when you're stuck in a rut, I suspect it really is about going and finding a landscape that reflects it, to notice what solutions there are, because it's quite hard to do it logically. And yet that team really came back to the meeting really inspired and enthused about coming up with a vision that was about transforming the organisation and taking it to a new paradigm. Can't see the wood for the trees. Oh God, I could be here forever. So many of the podcast episodes refer to it. I think, what's the one takeaway I'd like from that one? Is why are you allowing yourselves to get distracted with the wood? Sometimes you don't need to see the wood, you just need to be able to get. So many times people have said, when I've said, where do you want to get to? And they go, the other side of the wood. And I go, why are you distracting yourself in the wood? They look at me as if I've gone mad and go, I don't know. And so carry on. Up a creek without a paddle, that's a 7-step process, which starts with stop and putting your life jacket on. So I think there's something about when we're stuck, it's not about pushing forward, it's not about trying to come up with a solution until we've taken care of ourselves. It's the old adage about putting your own face mask on when you're in a plane, so that to look after yourself. So I think for me, the stopping, putting your life jacket on, is what can you do in this moment to feel safe, that would then give you access to your prefrontal cortex and, I suppose, more solutions and more options. Because sometimes when we're stuck, the reason we're stuck is because we've sort of started to feel anxious and worrying, and therefore that's then closed down our brain to being able to access the part of us that's going to be able to help. Like a fish out of water makes me laugh every time, because if a friend was to, or a colleague was to say to you that they felt like a fish out of water, I'd put money on the fact that you'd tell them, oh, you'll be feeling all right in a few weeks, it's just your comfort, you know, you're at your edge of the comfort zone, you're okay, don't worry about it. And yet, if I'm a purist and I'm sticking with the metaphor that they're using, they are telling you, they are, you know, that they are dying. Because a fish out of water, there's only about one fish that can come out of water for any length of time. So they're telling you they're dying. So what would you do in that instance? You'd put them back in the water. You'd let them go back to the water, get them back into some semblance of balance. And then you would say, okay, so what was your objective? How are we going to be able to do it more easily? Might you need to do the jump from wherever you're going to somewhere else in more than one go? Head in the sand's an interesting saying, because we very rarely describe it for ourselves. Don't say, I've got my head in the sand. We often sort of point at others and say they've got the head in the sand. And it's much harder to apply any of these techniques to other people, in terms of if somebody's got their head in the sand, it's always already really uncomfortable. As I found out when I put my head in the sand, and I'll share a picture in the post that's linked from the show notes. When I'd asked somebody to take a picture, and they were expecting me with the, you know, landscape behind, and there I am asking him to take a picture of me in the head in the sand. Next chapter's out on a limb or in at the deep end. And what I'll say about out on a limb is invariably you'd only describe yourself as out on a limb once you've gone past the point of no return. So there is no going back, because otherwise you wouldn't describe it as being out on a limb. So it is about how can you safely get back to ground, basically, on that one. Next chapter, treading water and going round in circles. I did do a podcast with me in the water, treading water, sharing with you the insight. So you'll find that in the index of podcasts. But going round in circles, oh, as soon as you hear yourself saying that you're going in circles about a situation, then just draw the circle. I did it with a podcast, the host of a podcast recently, during his podcast sort of interview. And within a minute, he was thinking differently about the situation. So highly recommend going and watching. Either there's a video blog, there's a PDF, there's a podcast on it. because it's one of the quickest techniques I know for getting us out or back on track if we resonate with going round in circles. Miss the tide. Invariably, missing the tide's all about knowing that there's another tide coming. You haven't really missed anything. You've just missed that time. There wasn't a perfect time. There's the next time. And most tides in most places around the world are another 6 or so hours away. So it's just about preparing for the next tide. And the final chapter is about going with the flow. And that's just a question to ask yourself when you're not sure what to do. Am I headed for the ocean? And this is presupposing that you're the water. Water is heading for the ocean. And therefore, if you get to a crossroads, which direction do I want to take? You ask yourself intuitively, is this which one takes me towards the ocean? And you might notice that that's the answer that feels right for you. So hopefully this quick whiz through my book has given you enthusiasm, I suppose, for either going and reading one of the blogs, listening to one of the podcast episodes, or even going and buying the book so that it's there as a reference guide, really. Next time you're struggling, look at the chapter headings, decide, oh, that's the chapter that resonates most with how I'm feeling at the moment. Open it and see what insight you can get. As ever, really love you to follow the podcast, leave a review, like it, tell your friends. And next week is its 60th birthday, as in it's the 60th episode of the podcast. And I have a few things in mind. Let's see what happens. And as I have with every episode so far this series, I'm finishing with a poem. And of course, the poem is going to be entitled Can't See the Wood for the Trees. Can't see the wood for the trees. As I sit here and shelter under this beautiful tree, I wonder what stops me seeing the wood for the trees. Is it the overwhelm of knowing where to look? Each tree inviting me to pay them my full attention. And yet, in a world where I've learned to ignore the breadth of distractions, why am I noticing every tree? Is it because I know each tree matters? Or that I'm unable to determine which tree to choose over the others? Or perhaps more likely, an inability to let go of the need to connect to the small and tangible, to that which is right in front of me, to turn away from embracing the larger collective whole, because the tangible feels safer and less scary, and the collective whole too big to cope alone. Well, I can't see the wood for the trees then. Am I therefore being invited to consider that the journey is better taken with others? A reminder, perhaps, that when seen with them, the wood or forest is not as scary as the fairy tales would have us believe. Is not being able to see the wood for the trees instead an invitation to expand and look with others by our side towards greater horizons? If you've enjoyed today's episode of Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith, do please remember to follow the podcast so you're notified about future episodes. Leaving a review would also be very much appreciated. So too, telling family and friends if you think it would also be helpful for them. You'll find more about the Landscaping Your Life process in my book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees, Landscaping Your Life to Get Back on Track, available from all online book stockists. And by searching Landscaping Your Life on YouTube, Facebook and LinkedIn. Wishing you every success in using nature to landscape your life.